This is Weekend Ozarks at Large for Sunday, November 11th, 2012, Veterans Day. I'm Kyle Kellums.
And I'm Christina Thomas. Support for KUAF comes from To Enjoy Magazine, a monthly publication offering local arts, culture, and entertainment. The second annual Crystal Bridges Museum commemorative issue is now available. To Enjoy thanks everyone for their positive response over the past 3 years. Subscriptions and more information available by calling 464-8900 or numeral 2, letter N, joymag.com.
Ahead on this weekend edition of Ozarks, celebrating a historic mountain in Madison County and the Great American Smokeout.
But first, if titles like Space Invaders, Atari, and Gunfight bring up memories for you, then you may be excited to hear about a new business in Evelyn Hills, one where video games line the walls. Ozarks at Large's Timothy Dennis has a preview.
Although coin-operated video games are not as prevalent as they were before the rise in popularity of the home video game console, vintage video game fanatics in Fayetteville will soon have a new haven in which to while away countless hours blasting at asteroids, jumping over barrels, and toppling turtles. That's one of the reasons why Fayetteville resident Shay Mathis decided to open Arcadia Retrocade, a new arcade with more than 50 vintage arcade games set to open in the coming days at the Evelyn Hills Shopping Center in Midtown Fayetteville.
What we're hoping to do is sort of create a little pocket alternate universe here, where when you walk through the front door of the Arcadia Retrocade, you're kind of like walking into an alternate universe where there was an arcade from 1982 that just never closed. There's something that one can experience when you're playing a video game, or it's kind of akin, and no offense to our readers and my former AP Lit teachers and stuff, but it's something along the lines of when you get lost in a really good book. There's a similarity in the experience of getting lost in fantasy, of getting lost in the experience of playing one of these games and being in a place where you could just forget all of your troubles, forget all the stuff that's going on in the outside world, and just have fun like you did when you were 12.
But this arcade is a little bit different than many other arcades. One machine that will not be found within the arcade's walls is a change machine. Mathis says that no quarters are necessary to play in this arcade.
Once you pay to enter the arcade, you pay for nothing else unless you want to buy a Coke or something from the snack bar. All of the game machines, in other words, are free play.
In addition to the many stand-up arcade machines that will line the walls of the Arcadia Retrocade, a raised platform in the center of the room will provide seating for the arcade snack bar, a handful of cocktail table arcade games, and an area for a monthly featured classic video game console. Mathis says that he hopes to create the feel of an arcade that opened in 1982 and never closed, and that the machines in his arcade have the patina to match it.
I like the fact that the games show their wear a little bit. That shows the character, that's part of the character of each game, the history of each game. You know, we have an old Pong. It's actually a Pong knockoff cocktail table game that came out of an old pizza parlor in the 70s. It's fun to imagine the history behind each one of these games. We like some of the games showing a little bit of their wear so that when you play this thing, you know that it has been through the ringer. It has been possibly all over the country and back just to get here to you, to have you play it and enjoy it now 20 years after the last time you plunked a quarter into it.
Mathis says that the games in the arcade come from a variety of sources. Some games were found after long hours of scouring Craigslist, while others were bought at auctions that included arcade machines, jukeboxes, toy cranes, and other machines generally found in restaurants and at the entrance of box stores. The games cost between $200 and $300 a piece on average, and though they may look a little rough on the outside, Mathis says that most of the games needed little work to get them up and running.
Simple cleaning, dusting, so cleaning the contacts, and just double checking to make sure there weren't stuff that wasn't connected properly. So with very little experience, I managed to get three or four of the games up and running just as soon as we got them home and off the truck that were not actually working when we bought them. You need to have a little bit of know-how on the technical end, and fortunately, I've got some buddies who have have been playing around with this sort of thing for some time and have a little bit of experience and are also kind of learning as we go on some of the, certainly some of the older ones, you know. So yes, here and there you have to do a little soldering or a little this or a little that or a few magic tricks here and there.
And considering the age of the majority of games in the arcade, Mathis says that people shouldn't be surprised if they come in one day only to find that their favorite machine is out of order. The oldest game inside is more than 30 years old and is a verifiable classic.
This is Asteroids. Most people who were in arcades in the 80s will recognize Asteroids as one of the quote old school games, and this was made in 1979. It's a little faded, but it still plays as well as it did, you know, probably a year or two after it rolled off the factory floor.
Mathis says that Asteroids will occupy a special place in front of the arcade with all of the classic games, which will include other titles such as Pac-Man, Centipede, Donkey Kong, and the original Mario Brothers arcade game, which Mathis says he remembers playing as a child living in Fayetteville.
And this particular game, they used to have in one of the grocery stores here in town, and my friend and I were talking about it, trying to probe our memory banks to recall whether or not it was the IGA down on the corner of Lafayette and 71. And we're pretty sure, because when I would go spend the night and have a sleepover at his house, and you know, invariably his mom would need to pull over and get some groceries or something, and she'd give us each a quarter and say, "Have at it," and then she'd go grocery shop, and we'd sit there on one quarter apiece and just burn an otherwise boring 7.5 minutes up.
And childhood dreams are what Mathis says is responsible for fueling his desire to open an arcade.
This or something like this is the kind of project, the kind of sort of quote dream job that I and a lot of my buddies as kids would have said we would love to do. Oh man, we could own our own arcade one day. It's the kind of thing that, you know, sitting around talking with your friends when you're 12 or 15, or even when you're, you know, in those murky college years trying to figure out why you're majoring and what you chose to major in, that sort of thing. You invariably get to that point of the night where you're having that discussion. You know, I just wish we could open up our own comic book store. I wish we could run an old art house theater and just play awesome movies and blah, blah, blah. That sort of discussion. This is the kind of thing we as friends have talked about for years and years.
He says that the thought occurred to him to open an arcade at a time when he was unemployed. While he says he could have worked for somebody else relatively comfortably, he was unsure whether he would be able to live with himself had he not taken the chance on opening his own business. And opening a vintage arcade doesn't come without its setbacks. Mathis says that while he planned to open in the middle of October, construction delays caused him to push back the grand opening numerous times.
I'll give you a very good example. The bathrooms that we needed to install, we had 100% full bathroom remodel back in the back. And when the original building was built, this particular wing of the building, they did not plumb for sewer all the way across the length of the building. So the plumbing stopped at a little tiny rinky-dink little employee bathroom. And so we literally had to get in and bust up about 35 feet of concrete to lay a trunk line, a sewer line, set in the concrete. And so I would definitely call it a complication. It's not something that our guys couldn't handle. They did a great job, and that actually didn't take even as long as I thought that would, but that was certainly a complication.
And aside from construction, Mathis says that the process of opening an arcade isn't for the faint of heart.
It's been crazy. It's been absolutely nuts and fun and everything, all of that stuff that you can imagine. It has been that. Lots of sleep deprivation, lots of budgeting and rebudgeting and rebudgeting.
While he says he has been putting in long hours trying to get the arcade ready for its opening, Mathis says opening the arcade couldn't have been possible without the help from a handful of family, friends, and other people who have lent their services to making his arcade dreams come true. The Arcadia Retrocade is set to open this week. For more information, Mathis suggests that interested parties should seek out the arcade's page on Facebook. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Timothy Dennis.